Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Introducing the Star Patrol Spotlight, the most intense flashlight you've ever seen. Compared to two car headlights, the Star Patrol shines up to four times as bright.
That's bright!
Illuminate objects up to a half mile away, even from the top of a skyscraper. The Star Patrol easily lights up buildings from across the skyline.
That's insanely bright!
Push Turbo Boost for a crazy bright boost that's 100 times brighter for 30,000 candelas of mega bright light.
What? That's insanely bright!
With 10 illumination modes, the Star Patrol is a spotlight, floodlight, emergency light, and more. Take care of all your lighting needs with one Star Patrol. Don't settle for dull flashlights. If the Star Patrol isn't the brightest flashlight you've ever seen, return it for a full refund. Go to GetStarPatrol.com for your free Turbo Boost, plus free shipping and a money-back guarantee. That's GetStarPatrol.com. GetStarPatrol.com.
This is continuing courtroom coverage in the trial of James Crumbly from the Hidden Killers podcast from True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Yeah, okay, and so that's practically the same time those photographs and those posts were, those images were posted?
Correct.
So the fact that they were posted on her device, or her social media accounts through her device, and we have a device location here, what does that mean to you?
That she was at her house when she made that post.
And were you able to tell if James Crumbly saw these images?
Yes.
Here's Exhibit 103. What are we looking at here?
This is data information from the cell phone extraction. And again, back to the file path that I talked about, you can see the third line down in the second column. You see com.facebook.katana/hash showing, indicating that it's in the cache folder.
Okay. So like the screenshot of a Smith & Wesson 9mm sent by his son to him, these images were also found in the cache folder?
Correct.
Now, were you able to obtain data locations from James Crumbly's Gmail account for November the 27th, 2021?
Yes.
Okay, did that help you identify where he was that day?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll go through Exhibits 104 through 107. Here's 104. What do we see here?
It shows James' location. It's near the gas station of the Meyer at Ray Road and 24.
Okay, we already talked about at this point in time he was working for DoorDash.
Correct.
And we already identified the fact that when there was an order ready, he would receive a text message from the DoorDash app?
Correct.
Okay, so were you able to tell what he was doing that day?
Yes.
What was he doing?
He was DoorDashing. Delivering.
So 9:37 a.m. indicates one position where he's at, and looks like he's back home at 5:32 p.m.?
Correct.
And here's Exhibit 106. It's about 6:03 p.m. He's out of the house then?
Correct.
Okay. And 6:33 back home?
Correct.
Now, what about Jennifer's location from that day? Were you able to obtain any idea where she was that day?
Yes.
Okay. This is Exhibit 108. What do we see here?
It's the purple dots indicating Jennifer's locations.
Okay. So we have 2:29 p.m. to 3:32 p.m. in locations outside of the home that would indicate what to.
She was at home. She was out and about.
Okay. Just to make sure I'm clear, on the 27th, we see James Crumley leaving home around 9:37 a.m., returning at 5:32 p.m., leaving again at 6:03 p.m., home again at 6:33 p.m.
Correct.
And the same day, Jennifer's gone from about 2:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Correct.
Now, Sunday, November the 28th, this is Exhibit 109. Tell us what we're looking at here.
That is a GPS location for Jennifer on November 28th at 12 p.m.
So she's obviously away from her home. Do you know what's at this location?
Yeah, that's where the horse farm is.
Now, you say horse farm, you went through all of the digital evidence in this case.
Correct.
Okay, including the Facebook messages between James and Jennifer.
Correct.
The messages from James to anyone else or Jennifer to anybody else.
Correct.
Okay. Are you aware of James and Jennifer spending time at that horse farm?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and tell me how you're aware of that.
Your Honor, I'm going to object to relevance.
We addressed this, Judge. You addressed it in your earlier opinion as well.
I think we did. I'm going to allow it. I think your objection goes to weight, not admissibility.
Thank you, Judge. How are you able to know that, Judge?
By how many times they talked about whether I'm going to the barn to do this or work on this horse or take care of that horse, yes.
Okay. Give us an idea of how many times they were talking about
it. They talked, it was mentioned within their chats 86 times of going to the barn.
Oh, I'm sorry, over what period of time?
That was from January to November.
From that conversation, we're able to tell if they would go together or if they had a plan to do it.
Both. They would go take care of one, go take care of a horse, or they'd meet up there together.
Here is Exhibit 110. This is Sunday the 28th at 2:07 p.m. This is at the Crumley family home?
Correct.
Okay. So these last two pieces of the exhibit indicate that Jennifer Crumley was at the horse barn from approximately noon to whenever she left, arriving home at 2:07.
Correct.
Okay. And that's the Sunday after that firearm, the 9mm, was purchased.
Correct.
Now let's talk about James' data location points. Here's Exhibit 111. What do we have here?
It shows his location near at the Meyer gas station again.
Okay, and tell us what he was doing that day from your review of the digital evidence.
That day he was door dashing again.
So this is a data point at 8:56 a.m. Exhibit 112 is 12:45 p.m. Here's he's back at the house.
Correct.
Does he leave again?
Yes, he does.
Okay, here's 113. Exhibit 113 at 12:52 p.m. What do we see here?
It shows him going away from the house.
Okay. And Exhibit 114, what do we have here?
At 5:13 p.m., he's back at the house.
Okay. So all this tells you that James left at 8:56 a.m., returned at 12:45 p.m. He left again 7 minutes later and returned 5:33 p.m.
That's correct.
Okay. Now I want to move on to Monday, the next day, Monday, November the 29th. I'm going to talk about a Facebook conversation between James and Jennifer Crumley from that day. So this is Exhibit 115. Jennifer Crumley at 8:23 a.m. on Monday, November the 29th. Are you at the barn? And then follow up just a question mark at 9:02 a.m. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So again, blue is Jennifer, green would be James?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you mentioned like those 86 times they talked about the barn, is this what you were referring to?
Yes, it was.
Was this a portion of what you were referring to?
Correct.
James' response was what at 9:05 a.m.?
Working on Billy.
Okay. And did you come, who's Billy? Did you
come to find, it was one of the horses.
This is also part of 115. What did James send to Jennifer?
He sent a photo, it's the horse's legs.
Okay, and Jennifer's response?
Do the fronts too.
So that's 9:21 a.m. on Monday, November the 29th. What did Jennifer write to James after that?
She asked him, did you call the vet yet? And then tells him, make sure you get back in between his heel balls.
And James' response was, I did, at 9:34, then fronts two, right after?
Correct.
And James wrote what at 9:35?
He says, what exactly should I tell the vet? Type out for me, leaving the barn now.
Okay. And Jennifer's response was what?
Billy looks to have scratches / mud fever. He started to stock up on all fours and concerned about infection. He's not lame, sensitive to the touch, and they go down when he moves. Is there an antibiotic I can get him on? We just put Desitin, an antibacterial, on his legs today.
Okay, and then she wrote what?
She asked, was he stocked up this morning?
Okay, so that was 9:41 a.m.?
Correct.
And James's response at 9:43?
He responds back with, he was stocked up more in the back than in the front. In fact, the front didn't really look stocked up at all, so I launched them for a few minutes before. I put the stuff on it, and it took the swelling down a little bit. But I got that cream all over, you know, in between the seal bulbs and stuff like that. I'll call the vet here in a minute.
Okay, and then you wrote, talk to tax FYI, so I have no idea what I really just said.
Yes.
Jennifer, it made sense, LOL, at 9:58, and then James's response at 9:59?
James responds with, I just talked to the vet, Carrie. Said she's going to talk to the vet once one of them get back in, and she will give me a call back. I explained everything exactly how you wrote it down. Good thing you wrote it down like that, LOL, for me.
Okay. Your response was, okay, good, LOL?
Correct.
Okay, so this conversation regarding the barn and the vet started at 8:23 a.m., and it went until 10:15 a.m.
Correct.
Okay. Did you come to learn if a message was left for Jennifer Crumbly while this conversation was going on between James and Jennifer?
Yes, there was.
Okay. This is Exhibit 116. Swing to me the volume. Okay.
Hi, Ms. Crumbly. My name is Pam Fine. I'm calling from Oxford High School, and I'm here with Mr. Hopkins, who's Ethan's counselor. I was just calling to let you know that we just spoke with Ethan, had a really nice conversation. One of his teachers had sent an email to the office just that she was concerned because Ethan, when she was walking around the room checking assignments, that he was on his phone looking at bullets and that sort of thing. So she just wanted us to have a conversation. We did. We said he was at the shooting range with you this weekend, and we were like, yep, you know, guns are a hobby for a lot of people and shooting ranges, and that's perfectly normal. And that we just wanted to make sure I had a conversation with him about the safety searches at school and things versus searching at home, like Mr. Hopkins gave a good example of, like, if the teacher makes fear at home, perfectly normal and healthy, but can't be using searches for making beer at school. So we had a conversation. He was great. He was like, yep, I get it. So I just wanted to let you know that we did have that conversation with him, and I don't know, about 5 minutes, and he went back to class. All right, if you have any questions, you can give me a call. Otherwise, it'll be a great holiday. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was November the 29th, 2021. Did you find evidence that Jennifer Crumbly accessed that voicemail?
Yes, she did.
Is that depicted here in People's Exhibit 117?
Yes.
Could you find from the messages between James and Jennifer who picked their son up from school that day?
Ethan did. I apologize. James did. Father.
Here's Exhibit 120. This is Jennifer Crumbly, you still working, 2:44 p.m. James says no, waiting for their son, 2:47. Okay. And 119, this is later on. What does Jennifer write to James?
She asks you, did Ethan tell you what happened today?
Okay. And that's the same afternoon that the voicemail was left?
Correct.
Okay. And James' response?
Was yeah.
We're going to move on to November the 30th. We'll go step by step from what you were able to discern from all of the evidence that you had reviewed in school. So in the morning, November 30th, were you able to tell what time the shooter was dropped off at school?
After 7:30 p.m. What a.m.?
So, you were able to pull a surveillance video for this?
Yes.
This is Exhibit 122. 7:46 a.m. on the 30th?
Correct.
Tell us when you recognize him, please.
He got out of the car a second ago. He's the last one walking up.
Right there?
Yes.
He was dropped off by his father?
Correct.
Exhibit 123, tell us where James Crumlin went after that.
At 8:04 a.m. he was at home.
Okay. And then Exhibit 124, where was he?
At the horse farm again.
Okay, so 9:04 a.m. So 7:46 a.m. he dropped off his son. He was home at 8:04 a.m. He's at the horse barn by 9:04?
Correct. Okay.
Do you know what time that Jennifer Crumlin got to work?
About the same time, 9:04.
So this is what we're looking at here.
That's Jennifer walking into her place of employment.
This is Exhibit 125?
Yes.
Okay. And this is November 30, 2021 at 9:04 a.m.?
Correct.
Now, do you know if she received a phone call shortly after arriving?
Yes, she did.
So Exhibit 126, what do we have here?
That's from the call obtained from her phone from the school.
So we have a missed call at 9:24 a.m. on November the 30th?
Correct.
And then we have a return call at what time?
9:27 a.m.
And how long is that phone call?
That's 5 minutes, almost 6 minutes.
So is that 5:43? That's 5 minutes and 43 seconds?
Yes, it is.
Now, next in the timeline, 9:31 a.m., what are we looking at here?
That's the screenshot or a picture of a math homework, math sheet homework that the shooter had.
Okay. So this was sent to whom?
To Jennifer.
To Jennifer Crumbly?
Yes.
Okay. Exhibit 128, what's this?
That's the full-size image of it, of the math sheet.
So did you come to learn there were actually two different math worksheets?
Yes.
Okay. And this would be referred to as the altered one?
Correct, it is.
So this was sent to Jennifer Crumbly at 9:31?
Correct.
All right. That's Exhibit 128. Exhibit 129 is what?
That appears to be an email of the math worksheet.
Here's Exhibit 30. This is what contained in the email?
Yes, that's the original.
So this was emailed to Jennifer Crumley at 9:32 a.m. Is that right?
Correct.
And the scratched out version was texted to her at 9:31 a.m.
Correct.
Now, this is Exhibit 131. This is at 9:33 a.m., so this is 1 minute after that original drawing was sent to Jennifer Crumbly. What are we looking at?
Jennifer telling James, call now, emergency.
Okay.
And then she says again, emergency, 2 minutes later.
And then at 9:38 a.m., what does she send?
She sends the two pictures of the math worksheet.
Okay. So the one that's scratched out in the original, the
correct,
that were sent to Jennifer?
Yes.
And James's response at 9:44 a.m.?
James responds with, my God, WTF.
And then what?
Vet not here yet. It's McElmurray for Kira's horse, still waiting on vet.
Okay. So we saw earlier that his location indicated he was at the barn by at least 9:04 a.m.?
Correct.
Okay. And this was at 9:45 a.m.?
Correct.
And what did Jennifer write?
Responds back with, he said he was distraught about last night.
James?
James says, we talked about it this morning. Then he asked, you talked to him, ?
And what did Jennifer respond?
Responds with, can you call?
That's 9:57 a.m.?
Correct.
Okay. What does Jennifer write at 10:04 a.m.?
She says, heading to a school, I'm very concerned.
And that's at 10:04 a.m. on November the 30th, 2021.
Correct.
Did you learn that they both arrived at Oxford High School?
Yes, they did.
And did you learn approximately the time they arrived at?
Yes.
What time is that? It's
about 10:30, 10:36.
This is Exhibit 132, 9:36 a.m. You see James' location history that's still at the barn?
Correct.
Okay. And 134, this is the same surveillance footage that we saw Jennifer Crumley arriving at work at 9:04 a.m. This is at 10:06 a.m.?
Correct.
Okay. And this is consistent with what we just saw in those Facebook messages when she wrote heading to school?
Correct.
Okay. This is exhibit 126. What do we see here?
It's a call to the school, to the counselor from Jennifer.
Okay, so she left at 10:04, then at 10:07, she called the same counselor to call her?
Correct.
And exhibit 131, headed to a school at 10:12. So that would be the timeline for that period of the day.
Correct.
So do we have an idea of, you said about after 10:30 a.m. that meeting occurred?
Correct.
Okay, and so is this what you based that opinion on?
Correct, yes.
All right, so what do we see here at exhibit 135?
Well, you see at the top of it is the horse barn, and then he takes a path down Gardner Road and then heads to the high school.
Okay. So if I'm correct, what we just saw, the Jennifer arrived at work, well, first of all, the shooter was dropped off at school at 7:46 a.m. by his father.
Correct.
He went to the horse barn at 9:04.
Correct.
Jennifer arrived at her place of employment about the same time, 9:04.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And she received a phone call at 9:24.
Correct.
Then we saw the messages sent from her counselor, and the phone call from her counselor, and the messages thereafter with those two drawings.
Yes, sir.
And then the Facebook messages directly after to James with those two drawings.
Correct.
And this shows when he left the horse barn and about the time he arrived at high school.
Correct.
Now, did he stop by his house before he went to the meeting?
No.
Did Jennifer stop by the house before she went to the meeting?
No, sir.
Did they go in one car or separate cars?
They were in separate cars.
Now, we had discussed this particular aspect of the case in a separate hearing some time ago, and there was an original belief that they arrived in one car.
Correct.
Okay, you came to learn that they arrived in two different cars.
That's correct.
Turner leading.
Again, it's just combination, sir. Tell me that.
When I originally was watching the video, the system that the school has, it's not continually recording. It only records when there's enough movement in the frame. So if they're too far of a distance away, it's not going to record, even though there might be somebody walking across the parking lot, the sensors don't pick it up. And it didn't, once I saw the second car, what I thought was the first car, pull into a parking spot, the next thing I saw was just two people standing in front of it. So I assumed that they'd come out of that car together.
So keeping with our timeline here, 10:29 a.m., we have a call log of what we see here.
James calling Jennifer.
And how long was that phone call?
7 minutes and 16 seconds.
And based upon what you found on the video and the messages and data locations, this is before they arrived at school?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you were able to pull the surveillance footage of both vehicles arriving and their movements while inside the Oxford High School, at least that were contained on surveillance video, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So this is exhibit 137. I'm going to play this, and just so we know, at the bottom of the screen here, we have a description of the camera, what it's looking at with the time.
Correct.
So this is 10:36 a.m. on November the 30th, 2021.
Correct.
Okay. And this, what are we looking at right here?
That's the parking lot of the school on the north side of the school.
Sir, whenever you're able to, give us some context of what we're looking at.
I come to find out that that's Jennifer pulling up right there in that car.
Okay.
And then there's James and Jennifer walking up to the school.
Right here?
Yes.
Thank you. sure this is James Denver Crumbly in the Oxford High School, I think?
Yes, okay. That's in the office there, and they're being directed around to counseling.
At the bottom of the screen there is 10:39 a.m.?
Correct.
So this might actually be a good time for a short break if the court was inclined to take one.
Just fine, Your Honor.
All right, so I'm going to let you sit down if you have special testimony. Mm-hmm. So just about a 10-minute break.
Okay. All right, to the jury.
James Crumbly, case number 22279989 FH.
Thank you. Okay, so we were on November the 30th, 2021. This is at 10:39 in the morning. You identified both James and Jennifer Crumbly in Oxford High School.
Correct. Okay.
So this was a surveillance video pulled from that day and that time?
That's correct.
The clock here that says 12:42, that's incorrect.
Correct. It never changes.
Okay.
Correct.
So the actual time is in yellow at the bottom of the video. It just turned 10:40 in the morning?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Thank you. did you come to learn who this person was that greeted James from Never Crumbly?
Yes, school counselor.
I just skipped now from 10:41 to 10:52 a.m. Same view, same exhibit. Who do we see leaving the office?
That's the shooter.
And that's 10:52 a.m.?
Correct.
It's 10:53 a.m. Who do we see?
It's James and Jennifer Crumbly leaving.
Okay. This is James and Jennifer Crumbly?
Yes.
And they're walking out of the counselor's office?
Correct. Back towards the front office.
At one point in time, James Crumbly was holding a white piece of paper. Now it appears Jennifer Crumbly is holding that. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And he just took it back from her?
Correct, he did.
So they leave the building 10:54 a.m. on November 30th.
Correct.
So this is 10:57 in the morning?
Correct.
Let me know when you see James Crumbly's vehicle leaving.
Here it starts right there. Okay. It turns to its left.
Okay, did James Crumbly stop by his house after that meeting?
No, he did not.
Move on to exhibit 140. This is a location data at 11 a.m. Where at?
At Meyer.
Okay. And that's November 30th, 11 a.m., and that Meyer is where?
To the west of the school, just down the street.
Is that the Meyer you told us about earlier?
Yes, it
today?
Is.
Okay,
that is
so that's the Meyer you went to on that same day?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And do you know what he does there?
I know he sits there for a while, for a little bit. I think he starts door dashing.
Did he log on to DoorDash yet at that point?
Yes.
Here's 141. This is 11:24 a.m. And this is the same surveillance footage of Jennifer Crumbly's employer?
Correct, coming back to work.
So she's back to work at 11:24.
Correct.
Okay, so this is exhibit 142. I'm going to go to a Zoom version here. This is November the 30th. This is the DoorDash search warrant return.
Correct.
Okay, so you can, I'm sorry?
Part of it, I'm sorry, yes.
Okay, so this is just depicting the November the 30th date.
Correct, yes.
Days. Okay. And so he logged on to DoorDash at what time?
11.
Okay, so that's the time he actually logged out.
Correct.
Correct? Okay. So going back to this version on Exhibit 142, there are no logons prior to 11 a.m. that day.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And in fact, we see his first message was 11 a.m.?
Correct.
Okay. Exhibit 80. Exhibit 143. Now, the time here at the top corner, that's 11 a.m. to 11:19 a.m., and this is a map that's been created that depicts DoorDash pickups. Is that right?
Correct.
Pickup and delivery?
The route he took, yes.
Okay. And if you refer back to that DoorDash search form return, Exhibit 142, you were able to tell that he had four different orders that morning until the shooting?
That's correct.
Okay. So this location history depicts what?
Again, that's the path from the Google search warrant return we used to follow the path down to where he picked it up to where he dropped it off.
Okay. And at any point, did he stop by his house?
No, he did not.
This is 11:19. That's when he got his second delivery?
Correct.
Okay. And Exhibit 44, 11:19 to 11:46. What do you see here?
It shows where his first drop-off was to where the second pickup was, and then where he dropped it off.
Did he stop by his house then?
No, he did not.
Next DoorDash order is 11:58 a.m.?
Correct.
Exhibit 145 here. This is the GPS locations?
Yes, it is from Google,
What do we see here?
His second drop-off in the bottom part of the picture to where he went back up to the Meijer at the top side of the picture and dropped it off.
Did he ever stop by his house?
No, he did not.
This is 12:51 for a DoorDash order, November the 30th. 12:51, that's what you told us was when the shooting started.
Yes.
Exhibit 146, what do we see?
Where his third drop-off was at the bottom of the picture and the pickup end of the fourth trip and the drop-off of the fourth trip.
Did he ever stop by his house?
No, he did not.
And what's the first relevant events in either James or Jennifer's devices after the shooting occurred at 12:51?
An email was sent out.
Okay, this is Exhibit 141, or a portion of it. This is what?
That's the email header from the Oxford Community Schools at 1:09 p.m.
No, I believe this is Exhibit 147.
Oh, what did I say? I'm sorry. Thank you, 147. So this email was found from a search warrant return on James Premley's email?
Correct.
Okay. And it was sent from Oxford Community Schools to james_Premley@yahoo.com?
That's correct.
Subject line was active emergency at OHS?
Correct.
Okay. And this was at 109 and 52 seconds in the afternoon?
Correct.
Okay. Now, are we able to tell from his data locations where he was when he received the email?
He was he was going to the Meijer, yes.
Okay, so this is 1:11 p.m., so 1:11, 38 seconds, about a minute and a half later. His GPS pinged at that same Meijer that you went to?
Correct.
Okay. That's Exhibit 148. Now, after that email was received at about 1:09, 1:10 p.m., who did he call?
He called Ethan.
He called the shooter?
Yes, the shooter.
And that was at 1:13 p.m.?
Correct.
And at 1:17 p.m., he tried to call him again?
Correct, he did.
Okay. Neither phone call went through, is that right?
That's correct.
It's Exhibit 136. Does he leave the Meijer parking lot?
He does for a little bit, yes.
Okay. So at 1:17 p.m., we see a lot of different green dots here. Is this the first data location that shows that he left the Meijer parking
lot?
Yes,
it is.
So that was after he received the email and after he called the son twice?
Correct.
Okay. That's Exhibit 149. And does he call anybody else at that point in time?
Yes, he tries calling Jennifer.
Okay. That's Exhibit 136. And do we know Jennifer left her work that day?
That's correct, she did.
Okay. I'm just going to show a clip here. This is Exhibit 150 at 1:18 p.m. So this is after he had that 57-second phone call with Jennifer.
Correct.
Okay, we saw that James left the Meyer parking lot at 1:17. Did he go home then?
Yes, he did.
Now, first, did he receive a phone call from Jennifer?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so this is 1:19 p.m., and how long is this phone call?
10 minutes and 19 seconds.
Exhibit 151 is GPS location from 1:20 in the afternoon, November the 30th?
Correct.
Okay. So that's right after he received that phone call from Jennifer Crumbly?
That's correct.
Okay, and this indicates that he was at the home?
On East Street, yes.
Now, at this time, do we know if Jennifer was on the move?
Yes, she was.
Okay. But she wasn't home yet?
She wasn't home yet? No, she was not.
All right. So this is Exhibit 152. Where is she at from 1:18 to 1:20 p.m.?
That's her employer. She's Square Lake and Telegraph, south of here.
Now, while she was on that phone call with the defendant, with James Crumbly, did she send any text messages?
Yes, she did.
This is Exhibit 133. What did Jennifer Crumbly write to Andrew Smith? First of all, did you learn who Andrew Smith was?
Yes, I did.
Who's that?
That was her boss at work.
So this is at 1:23 p.m., according to the records that you reviewed. Was she still on the phone with James Crumbly?
Yes, she was.
What did she write your boss?
She said, "The gun is gone, and so are the bullets." He replies with, "I'm praying everything is okay." She says, "OMG, oh my God, Andy, he's going to kill himself. He must be the shooter."
And that was 1:23 in the afternoon on November 30th.
Correct.
Now, the defendant received another phone call from his wife after they hung up from that 10-minute phone call?
Yes.
Okay. Going back to the phone log, this is at 1:30 in the afternoon. It looks like a 3-minute phone call between the two?
Correct.
Now, this was at 1:30 p.m. with a 3-minute phone call, so it lasted about 1:33 in the afternoon.
Correct.
What did James Crumbly do after he hung up with his wife?
He called 911.
This is Exhibit 154. If you know, that was before the name of the shooter was made public?
That's correct.
Now, at some point, was James Crumbly contacted by law enforcement?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Do you know if both James and Jennifer Crumbly went to the Oakland County Sheriff's Office, Oxford substation?
That's correct, they did.
This is exhibits 155 and 156. These are location points. 1:58 p.m. for James Crumley. Where is he at?
That's the actual the location of the substation.
Okay. So he made the phone call from his house at 1:34, and he's at the police station at 1:58?
Correct.
All right. And this is Jennifer Crumley. She was there at 1:59?
Correct.
Now, sir, we talked in the beginning of your testimony about the multiple phones that were recovered and that you conducted analysis on. You have a chance to review the forensic downloads of the other phones as well?
Yes.
Okay. Now, during the course of your forensic investigation, did you find that on a phone associated with Jennifer Crumley, what we refer to as a burner phone, and an alarm set for December the 4th, 2021?
Correct. It was.
Okay. That's 157. Oh, they're back home at 2:30 in the afternoon at 157. Exhibit 157, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so Jennifer Crumley, 2:30, James Crumley, 2:30 afternoon.
Correct.
Okay, so now moving ahead to December the 4th. This is exhibits 159 and 160. What are we looking at here?
That's the screenshot on the left side, and then showing the alarm set on the right side.
Okay. Now, from your review of all of the forensic evidence that you had, did it appear that Jennifer Crumley would leave her phones on throughout the night?
That's correct. She would.
Okay. Now, we talked a little bit about how the cache images were found of the 9mm handgun, but the message wasn't found, and how you have an ability to occasionally obtain deleted content.
That's correct.
All right. Were you able to obtain a Facebook thread between Jennifer Crumley and somebody named Brian Walsh?
Yes, that's correct.
Were you able to obtain any particular messages that were deleted?
Yes.
I'm going to show you Exhibit 161 and 162. These have been admitted. 161, what are we looking at here?
The first box indicates that the message was unsent. And the second one from Jennifer Crumley is, we're on the run again. Helicopters not sure where to message you on December 2nd at 1:31.
When you say unsent, why is this significant to you?
It says she recalled the message back.
And this is from a Facebook message?
Yes.
Okay, so this is after the shooting. This is Thursday, December the 2nd, 2021. And she wrote, we're on the run again. Helicopters not sure where I'll message you.
Correct.
Exhibit 162, later on Thursday, December the 2nd, 2021, did you find another deleted message?
Yes.
And tell us what that is, please.
The original message was, we're fucked, and then that was also unsent.
And because it says you unsent a message in the red X, does that indicate to you that it was deleted?
Correct.
Now, sir, you reviewed all of the defendant's phone call history. Is that correct?
Correct.
At any point from the time that James Crumley left that piece of paper on November the 30th, 2021, to the time the shooting occurred, at any point in time, did he call any doctor, hospital, or medical provider?
There was no indication of that, no.
Now, you reviewed his entire web history as well, James.
Correct.
Jones. At any point, did you see him researching 9mm handguns?
No.
So the screenshot that was on his phone that was deleted, that was sent from his son to him on November the 8th.
That's correct.
Now, earlier, you described the video that you put together of the shooting.
Yes.
And you spent, I asked you earlier, and I think your response was too many as far as hours. Could you, for context, though, to lay a foundation for the jury, could you give us an idea of how much time you actually devoted to this?
To that particular video?
Yes.
Oh.
Forty to fifty hours. I'm sorry, I'm going to object to relevance.
Just, the jury is going to see the actual video in a few days. This witness was the individual to put over 100 camera angles together. To do that, he had to watch an awful lot of footage, and he also had to parse out certain activities of students before, during, and after the shooting. The video itself is synced together. There's portions where it skips, and we have to explain why. There's no sound in the video.
Okay. Well, you can ask them that. Definitely ask them that. Why? It's not one complete video going from beginning to end.
No, it's a series of different camera angles.
So it's follows the shooter's movements?
From the different cameras, correct.
Okay. But you also had to aid in the identification of the victims?
Yes, I did.
Okay. But how is it that you did that?
By where they were standing.
I'm going to object to this as well. I don't know how this is relevant either.
So this is a homicide case.
Well, it is a homicide case. I'm going
to... Thank you. Go ahead.
By where they were standing, I was asked... what they were doing just prior to the shooting, the victims were.
So how are you to put that together, though?
I don't understand what you mean.
How is it that you used that information to help identify the other investigators who was who? Did you learn what certain individuals were doing directly before the shooting?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the group of students you identified as Hannah, Kylie, and Riley, did you know what they were doing?
Yeah, they were just standing there dancing and laughing, it appeared, and joking.
All right, thank you. That's great.
Can we approach him?
Sure.
Microphone here.
Yeah, can you guys turn on the mic? We're going to continue tonight at 9:00 in the morning. The reason that I'll explain to you more later when we meet. Much like I said at lunchtime, you cannot discuss your testimony with anyone because you're in the middle of testimony right now. So I'm going to have you come back in about 8:45 tomorrow. We'll start at 9:00 tomorrow morning with cross examination. All right, so you can step down. When we excuse you, we are doing work. We were here quite a while last night. But I don't like to make you wait while we're doing other things. So there's a lot of moving parts, so I want to let you go. All right? I need to tell you that during the trial, you should not read, listen to, or watch any news reports about the case. Under the law, the evidence you consider to decide the case must meet certain standards. For example, witnesses must swear to tell the truth, and the lawyers must be able to cross-examine them. Because news reports do not have to meet these standards, they could give you incorrect or misleading information that might unfairly favor one side. So to be fair to both sides, you must follow this instruction. Do not go on social media, do not post, don't do research, don't discuss the case with anyone. We're going to start up at 9:00 tomorrow morning. Does anybody have any questions about the schedule or anything in general? Well, we'll start at 9:05 to 9:00.
Not either.
No, but we'll start at 9:00. So you guys are really good today about coming on time. I appreciate that. So sometimes it'll be when it's set the camera up and there's all. I'm here. But we're moving a lot of people around. All right. So and the court can go through security. There's all those things. So. It takes some time. So we'll work all day tomorrow. We're making really good time. I can tell you that. Anybody have any other questions about the schedule? Any other questions about the schedule? Oh, I forgot to order you to stay healthy. Right? And we'll start up again tomorrow at 9:00. All right?
All right, for the jury.
Williams is on the way to court to address the issue of arrests.
All right, you may be seated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they can go. I'm not the jurors, though.
Thank you.
there are no jury instructions issues anymore, right?
No, we agreed a few months ago.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. David Williams. Judge, I think it is. It's an oral motion.
Your Honor, before we get started, I'm just going to place my objection on the record that this is being handled.
That this is being handled?
Yes, especially in front of the media in the middle of a trial, when this is obviously very likely going to be put out in the public, Your Honor.
Well, I do have a concern about that.
Judge, I was not certainly asking for it to be in front of the media, but I don't know how to make a record without that.
Well, wait for a minute. It's called 8.119.
Madam Judge?
Well, I guess I'm wondering, during the course of the trial, if there's any kind of a stipulation that could be agreed to.
Certainly, I'm happy to discuss what my request is, Judge.
Well, Ms. Lindman, would you be willing to have a discussion with the prosecutor's office? I can't, I have to hold the public courtroom.
Correct, Your Honor.
I do not want to impact your client or your case in any way by doing so, so I'm waiving the rights of the parties, so.
I would be more than happy to speak with the prosecutor's office about this.
Just be very brief.
I think the situation could be temporarily taken care of with a stipulated order, but I don't know if that's satisfactory or not. I'm reluctant to impact the rights of the parties during the jury trial.
I mean, Judge, my request is pretty straightforward, and it's pretty time-limited.
Well, I know what your request is, but I'm concerned about statements that might be placed on record, right? Aren't I concerned about that?
I have your own.
I mean, Judge, I think it's appropriate for the record, and obviously the jury's not present, that's why they're not here. But I understand the what the court's raising. I'm not.
All right. Well, I know you do. I know you understand my concerns as well.
I do. Hold on just 1 second, Judge.
Asking if there's another method during the duration of the trial, which is about next week or so.
That's exactly it, Judge.
Okay, so I'm asking if you and defense counsel
I provided a draft order, Judge.
There was a draft order provided, Your Honor. It is not time specific. It appears to be kind of a blanket time period.
Judge,
I can set this for a motion.
In fact, Judge, I think we'd be willing to have the order expire by its own terms upon a verdict. We're just talking about during the pendency of the trial. Okay.
If I'm shaking his head,
And Judge, I'm happy to do that.
Okay, Your Honor, my client is not willing to agree to the order.
Okay, so
basically restricting his ability to speak to people, Judge. I mean, it's a complete revocation, except for counsel.
I'm most concerned about him being able to talk to you.
Right, and absolutely, that's not part of what we're asking. I mean, Judge, if the order gets entered, we're asking that the communications be limited to only counsel and legitimate clergy during the rest of the trial. That's my request. We're talking 7 or 8 days. You can talk to his attorney. You can talk to legitimate clergy.
Okay, so if he doesn't agree to it, then the prosecutor is going to make the motion. Right?
And I have advised Mr. Crumbly of that, Your Honor. I would propose that there could be a different order with a restriction and not a complete revocation. Obviously, the prosecutor's office is reviewing communications. They would know whether or not the order was violated, and at that point, if the court needed to take action, then the court could take action.
Judge, it's not just about violations going forward. It's about the conduct that's already happened.
Well, I understand that. It's so hard to understand because there's a big old sign right there, right?
On every call. Every single call. Judge, if there's not an agreement, I'd like to just make my motion. It's fairly brief, Judge.
So, this one, what's his position?
Your Honor, he's not agreeing to the order.
Okay, well, does he know that in 10 minutes there's going to be an article about it? Does he know that in 10, maybe? 8. I'm not permitted to have a closed courtroom unless you're proceeding with a closed hearing under 8.109. And as I sit here right now, I don't know if it's called by, so.
May I speak with Mr. Williams for 1 month?
Yeah, you can step out of the room.
Yes.
Judge, I think we've reached a resolution.
That's good.
Judge, I think I can just briefly make the record. This is obviously, the order is going to become public. The agreement is going to be that Mr. Crumbly's communications will be revoked, but not his ability to do research or otherwise participate in his own defense. So not just communicating with counsel, but his ability to read or get other information.
Okay.
Simply communication.
And
so,
that's going to be a stipulated order between you and the assignment.
Correct.
All right. And did you say that that order would expire upon a verdict?
Yes, Judge.
Okay.
And perhaps it should go without saying.
What if there isn't one?
Well, I think.
Like
I mean, we can address it at the time.
Okay.
I think the issue is once there's a verdict, a lot of the issues just fall away.
Okay.
Judge, it should go without saying, but I hope the court will encourage Mr. Crumbly that the conduct that got us here.
I think I already did through his attorney.
Okay, thank you.
Both in private meetings that we conducted. When I say private, I mean with both the prosecution and the defense.
And for the record, I've also addressed you here.
I know you have. So. I gave out free legal advice, Mr. Crumbly. Someone can take it or not take it, right? So I'll sign the stipulated order.
Yeah, okay.
Good. I didn't sign it.
May I approach clerk, Your
Honor? All right, my staff is going to e-file the order, all right?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
That was adjourned, though. All right, so we'll start right at 9 o'clock tomorrow with your cross.
Okay. All right. Thank you,
Your Honor. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
creating stuff in the pocket or?
No, no.
More courtroom coverage in the trial of James Crumbly from the Hidden Killers podcast from True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's end of season sale is here and you can shop it from your couch. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, like up to 50% off outdoor furniture and decor, and up to 70% off area rugs, plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on Wayfair home finds in every style. And get it all with fast shipping on everything right to your door. From furniture to faucets, this is your last chance of the season to score huge deals at Wayfair. Don't let the final days of summer pass you by without shopping these end-of-season savings. So don't wait. Like summer, these savings won't last. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off everything home. Celebrate your holiday weekend with can't-miss savings before they run out. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.